Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure not only to welcome our listeners, but to introduce the four talented and skilled players of Just a Minute who are going to compete this week. We welcome back three of the veteran players of the game, who can only be described as the golden oldies of Just a Minute, and that is Peter Jones, Derek Nimmo, and Clement Freud, and someone who can only be described as a golden performer who's given us many golden moments on Just a Minute, and that is Paul Merton. Will you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Elaine Wigley, who is going to help me with the scoring and handle the stopwatch and blow whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And in front of us here, we have an audience at the Fringe at Edinburgh during the festival here. And I can see they're a highly hyped up, over-animated, probably hungover audience who come here to enjoy Just a Minute. And they listen to our four talented players of the game try and speak for just a minute without hesitation, repetition, or deviation on the subject that I give them. And we'll begin the show this week with Paul Merton. What a lovely subject. Log jam. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
One of the finest preservatives, I think, in my view, is log jam. It's very easy to make for those of you who are listening to me here or at home. First of all, get yourself a handful of splinters, boil them up amongst a kind of cornucopia of fruit, and then bottle it and leave it on the shelf for about 2 years. If you want to avoid disappointment, leave it there for longer till it's horrible.
And Clement Freud, a challenge.
Two leaves.
You were leaving it too long, because you repeated it.
No need to rub it in.
So, Clement, correct challenge, a point. 35 seconds are left. Log jam, starting now.
The French call it confiture du bois. And it is something which each day with your croissant or brioche or perhaps just toast, they will serve you. They're ill-mannered, ill-tempered.
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Too ill.
I know, but they're hyphenated, so what do we do? I think actually...
We give me a point.
I think within the rules of just... Paul, do you want to say something?
Repetition of hyphen.
Give Clement Freud and Paul Merton a bonus point because the audience both enjoyed their challenge. They enjoyed both their challenges. They both enjoyed their challenge. No, I don't know. They enjoyed their challenge. And Derek Nimmo, yes, I think in just a minute we must go by the words and not the hyphens. So you have a correct challenge. Gosh. And another point to you. Are you booing Derek or me or somebody else? Right, there are 19 seconds left, Derek, on log jam, starting now.
If you are sailing on the Irrawaddy, you will see lots of fellows on logs trying to prevent the jam. It's jolly difficult for them because they have to leap from one to another, and they do it most expertly.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Where was this happening?
Irrawaddy.
What?
The Irrawaddy.
Oh. The Irrawaddy.
Everyone knows where that is.
Well, everybody in India does, because...
No, it's in Burma, that's why I know.
I was saying the Indian subcontinent, which includes Burma.
No, it doesn't. That's Southeast
Asia. I think I have a punch up on this anyway. Now listen, Peter.
Yes.
You want to know where it was? Have you a more succinct challenge within the rules of just a minute?
I didn't even hear where the name of the place.
But what is your challenge in the rules of just a minute?
Deviation. Going into
because
some
you
other
couldn't hear,
language.
Because you couldn't hear his deviation. I'm sorry, Peter, I can't.
I could
that.
Hear the sound, but I couldn't hear his pronunciation.
I think we're wasting an awful lot of time.
I'm sorry to say this about another professional. Are you, you are still in the business, aren't you?
I still can't allow the challenge. I'm sorry, Peter. So Derek has another point. He keeps the subject 10 seconds. Log jam starting now.
Sitting in the Oriental Hotel in Bangkok, looking across the great water in front of me, I saw a log jam.
Clement Freud, challenge.
Repetition of great. We have the greater what he...
That's right, you did, I'm afraid. Yes, so Clement, you cleverly got in with 2 seconds to go. 2 seconds on log jam, starting now.
Any good river will provide...
At the end of that round, Clement Foy got the extra point for speaking as the whistle went. And Peter Jones, your turn to begin. The subject, tipping the wink. There's a nice phrase, nice subject. Talk about it if you can. 60 seconds starting now.
That means giving somebody a bit of information that you don't want anyone else to know about. You see, like, for instance, a waiter might tip you the wink, which would mean, in his language, don't touch the fish. Or you might meet someone who is just about to board the airplane you're going on holiday with, and he says...
Doing him a challenge.
Hesitation, really.
I think there was a hesitation there.
I think there was a...
I think midget.
No.
Yes. You certainly know how to win friends and influence people. But you still hesitated, so I must be fair with the rules in just a minute. Say, Derek, another point at subject. Tipping the wink, 36 seconds starting now.
If you are playing tiddlywinks, it's frightfully important to tip the wink in the right direction. In other words, you put it at an angle, and with your main wink, you wonk at it. And away it leaves, and hopefully, in the direction of the little pot at the end, which is going to land. And then you will be very successful indeed. And it's a game which I've played for many years. In fact, I was under-14 champion during the North Lancashire...
What happened? Nothing. They were so mesmerized by your childhood, and Paul Merton got in first, 7 seconds, tipping the wink, Paul, starting now.
I suppose the real, true definition of tipping the wink can be explained very simply in a few short words. Have a 7 seconds.
Well, actually, you went for 6 3/4. Oh, and Clement got in first with a quarter second to go on tipping the wink. Clement, starting now. Clement getting in just before the whistle, gained an extra point as well. He's one head now of Derek Nimmer, then comes Paul Merton and Peter Jones in that order. Derek Nimmer, your turn to begin. And the subject, lovely Scottish subject, the Glorious Twelfth. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
The Glorious Twelfth is the day which grouse shooting begins on North Yorkshire, as well indeed as the Highlands of Scotland. In earlier days, there used to be tremendous competition to have the first of these birds on the tables of the hotels in London. I remember Silvara Trumpeter, who was at the Savoy at the time, having a... Oh, these bloody things. What a boy.
Peter, you challenged.
Well,
he stopped.
I don't know why you assume that the 12th is the 12th of August, because the 12th of June happens to be my birthday.
Nice. And you want an extra point for that, too.
No, I just want the people to remember for next year.
Peter, you have a correct challenge for that hesitation, so you take over the Glorious 12th with 42 seconds remaining, starting now.
As much as that?
Someone challenged. Clement Foy challenged.
Deviation?
It was. I don't think he'd been going long enough for deviation. So he can make a comment before he gets into the subject, if he likes, and which is, therefore, it's an incorrect challenge, Peter. You have a point for that. Yes. And you have 40 seconds now on the Glorious 12th. But do get on to the subject as quick as you can. The Glorious 12th, starting now.
Well, it starts off with these people lying or standing up in bunkers, hidden behind gorse and heather and so on, with double-barreled guns, which are loaded by...
Clement Foy challenge.
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation. He couldn't think of the name for the loaders. And the 27 seconds for you, Clement, on the Glorious 12th, starting now.
The Glorious 12th is about as glorious for grouse as the Glorious 24th is for turkeys, unless you are the sort of person who puts it in a couple of nights before on a very low gas set. Grouse are quite excellent.
Derek Nimmer challenge.
Repetition of grouse.
Grouse, yes, it's not on the card. No, you can mention the words on the card. 7 seconds available for you, Derek, on the Glorious 12th, starting now.
Of course, these days, it's much easier to hit the saboteurs rather than our little feathered friends. They're surrounding.
So, Derek Nimmo speaking as a whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now gone back in the lead, equal with Clement Foy, and in second place, equal are Peter Jones and Paul Merton. And Clement Foy, your turn to begin. The subject, nursery food. Can you tell us something about that subject in just a minute, starting now?
Nursery food is sort of portmanteau name given to coddled and scrambled eggs and mashed potatoes, bubble and squeak cottage and shepherd pies, corned beef hash, tangerine,
puddings such as semolina and rice, tapioca and vermicelli, syllabubs, custards, creams and mousses, Welsh rabbits, anchovies on toast. They all qualify as nursery food, and there is...
Peter Jones challenge.
I don't think anchovies.
No, I... I would agree, Peter. I can't see any children in the nursery taking to their anchovies very rapidly. So I would agree with your challenge of deviation, and there are 30 seconds for you on nursery food starting now.
Well, they're all obtainable from any well-known chemist, and they comprise diced meat and minced fish.
Pull that challenge.
Vegetation.
Yes, I think so. There are quite a bit of it, actually, on point, Peter.
That'll do.
Yes, yes. I'm sorry. I didn't want to, you know...
Don't run it in.
No, no, no. I didn't mean to do that. It was just that I was searching for a little ripple of laughter, which...
You've been searching for that for quite some time, haven't you?
You see, Paul, I normally go for the big laughs. I don't bother with the ripples, and I thought I'd...
Any laugh in your case would surely be welcome.
And I think I'm so nice to you most of the time, Paul, too. It's... Anyway, Paul, you've got 20 seconds on nursery food starting now.
Some people call it comfort food. I... Favourite meal that I...
Clement Foy challenge.
Well, no, it was a hesitation, but...
I know, it was a wrong hesitation, so if you interrupt someone, that is a point for the person who's interrupted, in which case Paul Merton, so he has another point, he continues 16 seconds, nursery food starting now.
When I was 7 years old, there was nothing I liked better than mashed potato and gravy, and to my mind, it is perhaps the finest meal I have yet eaten. There is something wonderful about having the white spud on the plate... with all the meat liquid swimming around.
So Paul Merton made a big surge in that round, gaining also that extra point when the whistle went, and he's now only 2 points behind Derek Newman and Clement Foy, our equal leaders. And Peter Jones, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is the tattoo. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I played in a play at the Lyceum Theatre in Edinburgh during the second Edinburgh Festival. And the tattoo went on while the play proceeded. It was a very quiet, gentle play by T.S. Eliot. And we didn't enjoy all the fireworks and screams and shot fire, things like that. And so I was rather prejudiced against them.
Derek, you challenged.
It's a bit mean, but it was quite a lot of hesitation, wasn't it?
Yes, you were erring a bit, Peter. I mean, yes, you're trying to recall it all, but...
My God.
I know. And that is hesitation in just a minute. So, Derek, you have a point and 35 seconds. Tell us something about the tattoo, starting now.
Tattoo is one of the few Polynesian words in the English language. And, of course, it means an indelible marking on the arm. And the tattoo, as far as I'm concerned, is one which my son had put on his arm during a drunken spree in Hong Kong some years ago. He was at an establishment called the Dragon, and to commemorate that, he had this beast embroidered permanently upon his limb. I think it was absolutely...
Clement Foy challenge.
Deviation is not embroidered.
Well, I think that's a matter of a verbal interpretation, really. I mean, it's...
No, it's not
on...
sewn on, is it?
Clement, I think the audience are on your side on this one. So you take over the subject of the tattoo with 12 seconds starting now.
It is extraordinary how few people were tattooed when they were sober. a few...
Derek Nimmer, challenge.
Hesitation. I mean, there were a few. How many were tattooed when they were sober?
No, I think it was a little sort of...
Hesitation, yes.
No. Derek, I think it was too sharp to be a hesitation. I'm going to give Clement the benefit of the doubt. I will try and redress the balance. You know I always do if I possibly can later. But 6 seconds, Clement, a point to you on the tattoo starting now.
Helen Mirren has a tattoo on her hand, but she didn't know which was left and which right.
Well, Clement's points in that round, including one for speaking as a whistleman, pushed him forward into a stronger lead. Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject is thrills. Tell us something about those. In just a minute, starting now.
As you get older, your thrill factor becomes quite different. It used to be going down the Cresta Run at 70 miles an hour with your nose 4 inches from the ice.
And now...
Peter Jones has challenged.
It's quite wrong, you know. When you were very young, this was a thrill. I haven't even reached that age yet. When I can go down the crest of a run.
Peter, they enjoyed the challenge. You get a point for that, but I don't think he was deviating from the subject of thrills. So, Clement, you get another point. You have 47 seconds left. Thrills starting now.
Today, the terrific thrill is standing in line queuing up for a bus pass. I can't think of much which is more exciting than that, other than waiting for the pension book to arrive, or perhaps the postman to come for his annual bonus, knowing that you may not be there when he arrives in a year's time.
There is no more chance.
It didn't arrive.
Oh, yes, it arrived. I mean, I could think of many more thrilling things at my age.
Speak for yourself.
I know. Derek, I agree with the challenge. 21 seconds. Thrill starting now.
It has always been a tremendous thrill to take part in this program, just a minute. Particularly when it's been recorded in
what's more, Merton challenge?
Aviation is not a thrill doing this show at all. It's mildly entertaining. It's not a tremendous thrill.
I have a much quieter life.
I think it's each to his own, really, isn't it, Paul?
Yes, it obviously
gives him a thrill. Doesn't give you the same kick, you find it elsewhere, and I suppose Derek, well, he's modest in his demands, and this is his big thrill of the week. So please help him to make the most of it, audience. Because 15 seconds for you to continue, Derek, starting now.
My particular thrill is, of course, coming to Edinburgh, to old Reeky itself, in the middle of this magical festival.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
I didn't understand.
No. You know what? Irrawaddy, I said.
Yes, I agree with you there. We will interpret that sort of alliteration of language as a hesitation, Peter, because it was almost incoherent.
Almost. Well,
yeah. 9 seconds for you, Peter, on thrills, starting now.
Well, they do change as you get older. I've been told that the knees are the first things to go, though that hasn't been my experience.
Continuous round of applause must mean they were applauding the thing that we knew that hasn't gone yet, Peter, which is very impressive, and I won't take it any further because they've obviously...
Please don't.
No. No, it's an audience with imagination, which is what you expect on the Fringe in Edinburgh. And, right, Paul Merton, it is your turn to begin, and I'm dreading the subject because it is Parson's pleasure. And Merton, that great iconoclast, is going to take the subject and have 60 seconds as usual starting now.
It's gin. He can't get enough of the stuff. He drinks it by the bucket load. If you go around Nicholas's house on a Friday, you'll see a tanker delivering him this alcoholic refreshment straight through his letterbox. He's lying on the doormat with his mouth wide open with a pipe in his mouth. That's how he spends his weekend. He's completely sozzled all the time. Look at him. Look at this down alcoholic wreck that we see standing in front of us now, a sheer rambling wreck of a human being. Somebody buzz?
No, carry on.
He is part of the British way of life. We know how bad that is these days. He is, I suppose, perhaps the last great man we have left in Great Britain who remembers the silent films.
Jerry, you've challenged three times.
Two greats.
Two greats, I know, but I think the audience were enjoying it, actually. Shows you what a good sport I am. I let him go on there. So, Derek, let's hear from you on Parson's pleasure with 22 seconds left.
I think Parson has derived a tremendous amount of pleasure from his various wives. The first one, Denise, was the most wonderful, beauty, shimmering creature who lived in Rose Cottage. Even his most recent wife is a fabulous woman, too. And we all...
What came and Freud's challenge?
Why don't you like his wives?
It's a repetition of wives that I was...
Yes.
Wife.
And wives.
We had wife
and
wives.
No, wife
really?
Number one.
Oh.
Yes, wife.
Well, he's had more than one, hasn't he?
I don't think I'll be able to leave the theater. You know, drunk most of the time, and gin being poured through the letterbox, and all these wives running around, and...
Are you big enough to admit it?
10 seconds are left for Parsons' pleasure with you, Clement, starting now.
I've known Nicholas Parsons for a fairly long time, and his genuine pleasures are in rubber tubes, metal clips,
For once, Elaine, I would love you to have blown the whistle a second or two earlier. To finish on that was what we call timing, and I don't know how I'm going to hold my head up after this. But let me tell you, within just a minute, Clement Freud has gained a stronger lead. He's followed by Derry Nimmer, Paul Merton and Peter Jones in that order. And as we move into the last round, it is Derek's turn to begin. A delightful subject for you to get us into the finale. Better safe than sorry, Derek, is the subject. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
My grandmother always used to say to me, and I use the word advisedly, wear belt and braces, because it's better to be safe than sorry. And it's something which I've carried through life with me, and everywhere I go, I put...
Paul Merton Challenge.
Aviation is not wearing braces.
The advice I carried with me.
Well, if it's advice you carried, I think Paul's got a very good challenge there, because he's proved that you are not carrying out the advice all through your life, and you're not wearing braces. So I give you the benefit of the doubt there, Paul, and you have 46 seconds. Better safe than sorry, starting now.
As an expression, better safe than sorry, seems to indicate to me a certain lack of ambition. You have to try for things because you can say, well, I'm safe here, but you wouldn't know where you would be if you tried to take the risk. If you went for an opportunity, it might say, well, I could be better off where I am, but you never know where you might end up. If Buzz Aldrin had said at the age of 22...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
I think he said better twice.
Yes.
He did.
Ah, good.
Well, listen, Peter.
It is. And unfortunately, better's on the card. And you are allowed to say what's on the card more than once if you wish. So, I'm afraid, Peter. Yeah. 24 seconds left. Would you like to be generous and give this one to Peter?
Because I would like to give him an opportunity to buzz for a repetition in the next bit that I say.
All right, carry on, Paul. 24 seconds. Better safe than sorry. Starting now.
Buzz Aldrin.
Buzz Aldrin. Peter, you challenged second. What was your challenge?
Well, he said Buzz Aldrin after I'd buzzed the first time.
I'm lost.
I'm so sorry.
You're in a different time war, Peter. Peter, try and finish the show for us. There are 22 seconds left on. Better safe than sorry. Starting now.
Well, if Derek has been
wearing... Clement challenge.
He said well again.
Yeah, but he hasn't spoken in this round yet, so he can say well in this round once if he wishes. So, Peter, you've got another point, and you continue with the subject of 21 seconds. Better safe than sorry. Starting now.
If Derek has been wearing braces...
Who challenged? Clement Freud.
Deviation.
Why?
Didn't say well.
Oh, well, give him a bonus point for that. And but, Peter, you get a point for being interrupted. You continue with the subject. 18 seconds. Better safe than sorry, starting now.
If Derek has been going...
And Derek Nimmer challenge.
Repetition of Derek.
Most prejudiced audience we've ever had. 17 seconds with you, Derek, on Better Safe than Sorry.
Always like to have some potato with mince on top of it, because it's better to be safe than sorry. You mightn't get anything else to eat all day, and if you've had this shoved down your throat in all its horrifying ghastliness, at least you won't...
Paul Merton Chandler.
Deviation. It's not horrible or ghastly. It's one of the finest meals created by man.
I have to accept that the audience endorsement is that they agree with Paul Merton. So, Paul, you have 3 seconds. Well, deviation. 3 seconds, Paul, starting now.
I remember one incident particularly in 1960...
We have no more time to play just a minute. It remains for me to give you the final score. Actually, if Paul Merton hadn't made that final challenge and it had gone Derek's way, they would all three have finished up equal in the lead, which would have been a very, very fair result. But as it was...
As it was, it's a very unfair result.
Well, as it was, we have, for those who are interested in having winners and seconds and thirds and so forth, we have Peter Jones in fourth place, got a lot of points, made a lot of impact, won a lot of friends. Derek Nimmer was in second place, made a huge impact, and kept the friends he already had. And Clement Freud was only 2 points ahead. He was in second place, and he has made a deep impression up here in the festival. He might be asked back. And 2 points ahead of him was Paul Merton, the man who's been to the festival more often than any of us to work up here. And very aptly we say he is the winner this week. It only remains for me to say thank you to our four intrepid players of the game, Paul Merton, Peter Jones, Derek Newman, and Clement Freud. And also thank Elaine Wigley for blowing the whistle so delicately, helping with the score and the stopwatch. Chris Neal, who has produced and directed the show. Ian Messiter, who created the show and keeps us all in work. And also this lovely audience here at the Pleasance at the Fringe, who have given us such warmth and encouragement as we put over just a minute. From them, from our players, and from me, Nicholas Parsons, until you listeners take to the air, listen to Just a Minute again. Goodbye from us all! Thank you.